Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, let me just kind of start out by saying first, thank you for so many of you have been so encouraging to me as I've kind of taken on some new responsibilities, this included. This is not my background. I don't think it's my strong suit. But I have been trying to take on, you know, what the Lord's put in front of me and what Pastor Jim's put in front of me. So many of you in this room have been so encouraging, and I just my family and I just can't say thank you enough for that. I just want to say thank you for coming and praying. You know, it's a very important part. This service is a very important part of our church life, and to see all of you come out every week and to get to pray with you is a real privilege. I also appreciate the way Pastor Don organizes these and sets these up. I think. Every week we pray for a different area in the life of the church. We hear from a variety of people. And I'll say, since he referenced some of the stuff I did, I actually started here on the audiovisual team. I was the audio coordinator here as a volunteer going all the way back to 1998. And then stepped into a staff role in 2005. And I've kind of worn 7 or 8 hats along the way, I think, Don. But we do, I really, part of that audio team is in my portfolio still. And I appreciate the guys we work with. I appreciate you praying for them. That's an easy group to overlook, and they do put in a lot of countless work. So I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Matt Moore back here. He's not with us. Matt's our audio coordinator now. He's not usually in this room on Sunday nights, but he happens to be tonight. So if you see him tonight, say thanks. Tonight, you can kind of see we're pastor thin tonight. You just have me, Pastor Don, and Pastor Chad, and there's a reason for that. Tonight, Pastor Jim has a listening session going on up in the upper foyer with a group from ages in the 25 to 45 age bracket. We promoted that some places. So what that means, too, is that most of us that are left in here are over the age of 45. And so that kind of makes the assignment a little bit. You know, I think there's a few of us that are under. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm on the upper end of that spectrum that should be up with Pastor Jim today. But we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. You know, when Pastor Jim and I were looking at the speaking schedule, you know, when he was putting together this series on the minor prophets, which is just fantastic, by the way. I hope you're enjoying that as much as I am. But we asked a group of us that he put in on Sunday nights, we asked, you know, do you want to do any kind of series on Sunday night? He said, not really. And then he kind of paused and said, you know, maybe it would be fun if you guys wanted to take on something from the book I do in the morning. You could kind of put a different spin on that. And we all went, yeah, that would be fun. You know, like, why would we want to follow what Pastor Jim had to say? So in my mind, I think, yeah, there's no way. There is no way I'm going to do that. As I started praying about tonight a few weeks ago, I really felt that the Lord laid a passage from the book of Joel on my heart. And I pull out the service schedule, and I look, and Joel is last week. So I think, phew. Okay, I got a week in between for everybody to forget what Jim said before I have to go, and then the snow happened. So today I have fallen backwards into doing exactly what I said I wasn't going to do, and I'm going to take a look tonight at a passage from the book of Joel that Pastor Jim so artfully presented today. But, you know, he talked today about the message of the book of Joel is that we repent and then we receive, and what a great... He just walked right through that in a way I hadn't even thought of some of that before. And tonight we're going to kind of look at that passage he used on the receive part. We're going to zero in on Joel 2:28 and 29. This is a pretty familiar passage. A lot of us in this room can probably quote it. And Peter could quote it. Peter quoted it in his Pentecost, Day of Pentecost sermon in Acts. You can find that in Acts 2:17. So this verbatim piece of scripture shows up twice, once in Joel and once directly quoted in Acts 2:17. I remember my association with this passage kind of goes back to my days. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. I was a good student at Memphis First, and every year, you know, I was not a big youth camp guy. I didn't like going to youth camp, but I loved the Tennessee District Youth Convention. So they had this big youth convention, and it was too many days of youth camp things were just, even then, were too much for me. But 2 days was about the right amount. So I would go to youth convention every year. I felt like at least every other year, sometimes even multiple years in a row, you know, there'd be a Holy Spirit service every time at convention. And the guy that was speaking would bring out this verse, and they'd get all just really excited. and, you know, say, it's in the last days, we're going to pour out the Spirit, you know, God's going to pour out his Spirit, and your sons and daughters, you know, are going to prophesy, and your young men are going to have visions, and he'd stop. And he'd give this whole big cheerleading session on about how, you know, every cliche you can think of about this generation, and you know, we've got to rise up within the church and all this. And we'd all run down to the altar, and everyone would, you know, would pray, and most people would speak in tongues. We'd have this great outpouring of the Spirit, you know, based on this verse. And that kind of continued through my youth. Even when I came to Evangel to go to college, and, you know, every once in a while in chapel, someone would bring this out, and they'd zero right in on that, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will have visions. They wouldn't really focus in on the rest of this verse. And, you know, kind of go through life, at least my life, kind of up to a point, was this the association with this passage was all about youth. It was the anthem for the young generation. And there's some good in that. But then kind of one day, I think we all wake up. This happened for me. I would imagine it's happened for since most of you are over 45, I'd imagine it's happened for you too, where you wake up and you say, wait a minute, I don't think I'm a young man anymore, you know. I used to be the sons and daughters, and now I have sons and daughters. and what does this mean? Have I missed it? Has it passed me over? And, you know, when you go into the passage, there's good news. There's good news because right in between the sons and daughters and the young men, there's a line that all those youth convention guys forgot to mention that says, your old men will dream dreams. So as I feel now more like an old man, I'm with you, Dr. Cotton. Yes, you know, I'll give you the fist pump on that, you know. But I think when we really look at this passage, it's more than this age thing than all these youth convention guys. And if any of you spoke at Tennessee Youth Convention and did this, no offense here, but you know, I think the key point of this verse, you know, he's talking about the promise of the day of the Lord and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that it's right there at the beginning of verse 28 where he says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people, on all people. And, you know, he goes on and gives some examples, Joel, and then Peter picks this up again in Acts, but he says, on your sons and your daughters they will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions. And even on the servants, men and women, they're going to be participatory in this day of the Lord. And, you know, if we unpack that, he's giving examples of all people. He's explicitly saying this is not fixed to a certain class. So right out of the chute, he says it is your sons and daughters, which you can kind of read male and female. And in a male-dominated culture that even sometimes we still have, that's big news, you know, that this is for men and for women. And then the next thing, it's for young and for old, not for just the old men or not just the young men. It's for young and old. And then in the part about servants, people better than me at Hebrew have told me that word actually relates almost more of describing a slave. So you can kind of derive from that people who don't have very much. You know, so when we say even on the servants, even on the slaves, even on the people who don't have much, there's no socioeconomic grouping here. You know, it is for everybody. It is all people, period. And, you know, that's one of the things I love about our church. You know, when I think about this verse, I really think that we live out at Central Assembly all of the parts of this verse. You know, I think that's hard to find sometimes in churches today. You know, first, right off the top, I believe we're a functionally Pentecostal church. You know, we have this prayer service. We had plenty of time for the move of the Spirit this morning. In a larger church, that can be hard, but we're very intentional about that. We've got great people, Pastor Chad and Pastor Jim, group of us that plan the services, and we very much try to leave space for that. We're functionally Pentecostal. That actually came up in the listening session that Pastor Jim did on Wednesday with a group of the 25 to 45-year-olds. Several people said one of the things they appreciate the most about this church is that we're truly Pentecostal. We don't just say we're Pentecostal. We live, you know, what living in the Spirit looks like. But then you also see this in the fact that we welcome everyone. If you just look at our mission statement, you know, what's our mission statement? We're a church that connects people to God, to each other, and to their purpose in life. Well, we don't just say we connect young people to God, to each other, and purpose in life, or old people to God, to each other, or in their purpose in life, or we connect people with graduate-level education to God, to each other, and their purpose in life. No, we just say people. It's for all people. And we'd really try to make a place here where all people can come and be fed and can live that out. Is we're connecting all kinds of people, all different kinds of people, to God, to each other, which is pretty special too, and to purpose in life. Kind of just a sidebar here. Let me get off track, and I'll try to get back on track. But when I look at our mission statement, I love that we really that's the marriage of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, or is how we get those three parts of the mission statement. And you know, I think when we think about this last days outpouring of God's Spirit, it's very easy to see that that's part of how we connect to God. But I think sometimes we forget that that's also part of how we connect to purpose. You know, we're not just getting filled with the Spirit so we can feel good about ourselves. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the Spirit gives a variety of gifts to all different kinds of people, but they all are to do God's work. You know, we're not just getting this Holy Spirit so that we can feel good about ourselves. We're getting the Holy Spirit so we can be empowered to go out and do God's work in the world. I do think that occasionally, now I'll say, I'm going through my credentialing process, so I'm going to say very clearly, I absolutely adhere to and believe, you know, the initial physical evidence doctrine that we have about speaking in tongues, that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. But I think sometimes when we dwell on that as good AG people, we get ourselves sideways and in our focus, where we make the focus be speaking on tongues. Well, that's not the goal. The goal is living a Spirit-filled life, right? Tongues are part of that. But it's so that you can get out and achieve God's work and his purposes is in the world. It's, you know, it's the outpouring of the Spirit is to mobilize us into action. I think sometimes, you know, you speak in tongues and you know for the first time, you know, at youth convention sometimes, and you go back and you sit on the pew and you think, well, I'm in the club, I gotta pray for all those people so they can get in the club too, and we forget that this should impact our lives week to week and that it should mobilize us for action. So a little side rant there, forgive me. But getting back to Joel 2, we can see that this promise of the day of the Lord is for all people. I mean, I think that's pretty clearly established. We just said, you know, it's not restricted by gender, it's not restricted by age, it's not restricted by socioeconomic status. It's not restricted by anything, except if you have breath in your lungs. You know, it's for all people. So I think this is well established. I'm a good math guy. My background is math. So one of the things math, really nerdy math guys do, is once we have a piece of fact that's well established, we look for anything else we can derive from that. And we use a lot of what's called corollaries. So a, you know, corollary is just we have a well-established, it's a smaller fact that's a clear result of a larger well-established fact. So I think there's two corollaries to this idea of the real meaning of this verse that I want to kind of hone in on tonight and look at with you just for a few minutes. You know, the first corollary I think we can derive from this verse is that there's no expiration date on this promise in our lives. There's no expiration date. You know, there's no age limit. We don't wake up one day and say, well, we've made it to the retirement age on the promise of God. You know, Social Security is going to kick in and I don't have to do anything else. That's not how this works. There's no age limit. It doesn't matter if you're young or how old you are. You are entitled and expected now to participate, you know, after the day of Pentecost in the full breadth of this promise of the day of the Lord. You know, there's not this moment where I'm too old. In our house, We like the Olympics. My wife especially likes to watch the Olympics. You like to watch the Olympic Games are coming up. You know, we're all in full Olympic swing in the McDaniel house. So like I think last week or a week or two ago, there was the U.S. Figure Skating Championship. So my wife, it was like, you know, we got to watch that every night live, you know, on TV so we know what's happening. So if you followed that, you know that a young lady named Brady Tennell won. She kind of came out of nowhere. She won, wasn't it? Just hadn't really been anywhere until about the last 5 or 6 months, and she just really is skating well right now. And probably the surprising result is the big name in that sport is Ashley Wagner, and she placed fourth and didn't qualify for the team. And it was fascinating watching all the commentary about who they put on the team and all of these things. And there's several articles out there, but any article you read about Ashley Wagner and the skating championship, everyone I've seen addresses her age. It brings up her age. And they say things like, she's past her prime. You know, she's lost her edge. Her days as a skater are numbered. One of them I even saw last week said, she's like one of the senior citizens of women's figure skating. Well, she's 26. she's 26. But Brady Tennell is 19. Karen Shin is 18. And Mariah Nagasu, who's on the team, is 23. So she's... in skating, you're significantly older. I just was kind of marveling at that, that here, you know, she, the end of her career is going to come, and there's nothing she can do about it. She's 26. Aren't you glad that the promise of the Lord is not like that? You know, is it, you know, there's no age limit. There's no moment, there's no age we're going to get to where people are going to say that that outpouring of the Spirit is not for you anymore. It's got to move on. The second corollary I kind of think we can draw from this is that those of us that are in the older generations, I'm going to include myself in that because I have kids now. I see more clearly the younger generations behind me than I maybe used to. Those of us that are in older generations who've experienced this part of this promise personally, we have a responsibility to encourage others, and to particularly those younger generations that are behind us, and to bring them along into this promise and to live that out for them so they see an example of what that looks like. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this this time of year. I've been blessed. Like I said, so many of you have been so encouraging to me and have prayed for me and have prayed with me over the years. I've been here a long time. I know a lot of you very well, and you've spoken into my life in ways that are very special. But I don't just get that experience at church. I came from, my family heritage is very good. I come from both sides of my family. Come from a very godly heritage, Pentecostal, and just good people of prayer that raised me, you know, to value those things. I think I'm going to talk about a few of them if you'll indulge me, but I think some of you in the room, I know Obi knows my grandmother, Virginia McDaniel. She passed away 9 years ago just last week. But she was, if you know her, you know her because she was a singer. That's what people knew about her. She was an unbelievable soprano soloist. She sang with the choir at Memphis First for just about ever, I think. I mean, she sang at General Council. She sang on television in Memphis and other places. She was a phenomenal soprano voice. So if you've heard her, you know that. But the interesting thing about that is, if you know, you might know her for her singing. What we know her in the family of was two other things. She was a good singer, but she was an amazing and ardent student of the Word, and she was just the most powerful woman of prayer I've ever seen. I can't count the number of times she would just, on the spur of the moment, just pray down the fire of heaven in tongues, just driving in the car. We'd be driving to school in the morning and we'd be praying for the day, and she'd just start ripping off in tongues. And, you know, Nana, you got to keep your hands on the wheel. You know, we got to keep your eyes open and keep your hands on the wheel, because she would just get really, really overcome by the power of God. And she was just an amazing woman of prayer. Some of you may also know my grandpa on my mom's side. His name was Lee Benson. He passed away about a year and a half ago. And he served as he was a car dealer in Northern Iowa. He owned his own Chevy dealership for over 50 years in Northern Iowa. And he was an amazing layman in the church. He served his church as a Sunday school teacher, as an usher, as a deacon, just about every way you could serve his church up in Fort Dodge, Iowa, he served. And then beyond that, he served the fellowship. He was on the Foreign Missions Board for several years at AGWM. He also was on the Revival Time Board for a long time. I think there was no one in the Assemblies of God he didn't know for a season there. It was uncanny to go to like General Council with him. He knew everybody. The last time I was at his house, I was several years ago before he had to. Last time I said I was at his house while he was still living there. His health was failing. He had to go to a nursing home soon after this, but he was still going to work every morning. And his house had this kind of family room with a fireplace, and then the laundry room was kind of around the corner. So I was in the laundry room getting clothes out of the dryer. And he came in, and I didn't hear him at first. And then I realized I had gotten kind of trapped in this laundry room while he did his morning prayer routine. And every morning he would, I deduced later that this was every morning occurrence, but he came out to this fireplace, had this big brick hearth that was about the size, the height of an altar, and he'd kneel there, and he prayed. And he prayed in tongues, he prayed. He called out every member of our family, even the extended family, called out every member of the family by name. And then at the end of his prayer, He prayed that the Holy Spirit would make him attentive to people that came on the car lot, that he would see past their need for a car, and that the Holy Spirit would help them know if they need Jesus. And if they left with Jesus, that would be the most important thing, better than the car. And, you know, it's a fabulous heritage. You know, so I grew up getting to see people pray, people engaged in this act, of, you know, in this promise of the day of the Lord. And not just asking, you know, for the Spirit to say, hey, I'm in the promise. No, asking the Spirit to infiltrate our day, help us see what we need to see, and infiltrate our lives in a way that's, you know, that's impactful. And as I've been reflecting all this, you know, they've both passed away. And I look at my son and my daughters, and I think about, how is that heritage going to live on? Well, I've got to step up to the plate. You know, it's kind of next person up. We all, people, my wife and I and my parents have to be conscious about setting that example in a heritage of faith if my son's ever going to be able to say similar things. Nana and Grandpa can't do it for him. They did it for me. But I'm going to have to do it for Carter T and for his kids and for Martha and for her kids and Eleanor. You know, I think that, and then as I think about that more, you know, what about people who don't have that kind of heritage? You know, who's going to get that? Well, I would submit that's us. You know, this is our opportunity. I wouldn't say at the church. I would say this is our opportunity as the church to live out what Spirit-filled living looks like for these people who need an example of that. I also think that's true, you know, it's certainly true in individual relationships. But it's also, I think, true in a corporate, you know, as for us as a corporate body. You know, we can live that out for individuals, but as a group, some of us in here that kind of maybe represent older generations can be an example for the younger generation that's up with Pastor Jim. You know, I think sometimes when we start talking about this, it gets really easy, especially like on a night when like Pastor Jim is up there with a different group, to feel like we're left out. I know I've worked here for a long time. And there was a day where I was like one of the young go-getters on this team, and I realized a few years ago that's not my role anymore. And that was kind of a sad day for me at first. I had to really do some soul-searching because I used to be one of these young guys that had a lot of energy and that got a lot of stuff done and was just kind of involved in a lot of projects, and that role has changed for me. I do it something different now. I've had to embrace a change in that role, and I think that, you know, I know from my personal experience that can feel weird, and I think that kind of holds over for us in a group setting sometimes. Sometimes when we talk about the younger generations, it's natural for us that aren't there anymore to feel like, well, you know, what am I, a ham sandwich here? You know, we need to matter too. And the truth is, Joel 2:28 reminds us that we do. We have a responsibility as these groups who have experience, who've been more seasoned, who have had more of this experience than the people behind us, to maybe show what that looks like and to live out this example of Spirit-filled living and to live out, you know, empowering them to take on the next step of God's work, you know, things that we're not maybe equipped to do that they are. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's, you know, we talk about this passage tells us that we never have an expiration date. Doesn't mean our work's not going to change from time to time. We're going to have to kind of recycle into new roles. But I believe we can all do that. I'm trying to do that. So many of you have helped me as I try to do that, and I see this being lived out among all of y'all. So I'm really excited about, you know, the young generation that's up there with Pastor Jim. You know, that's a very large, growing segment of our congregation, and that's exciting. And we need that, because if we don't have that, the church will die out someday. You know, we have to keep raising up the people that are behind us. But I believe this church, better than any other church I know, is equipped to do that, because we've got so many of us that are here who've been part of this, who have been the sons and daughters that prophesied. We've been the young men with visions, and now we're maybe transitioning to being the old men that are dreaming dreams. But we can still bring the new sons and daughters and the new young men that are having visions. We can bring them along into this promise with us. So we see in this passage that this promise of the outpouring of the Spirit, it's the day of the Lord, it's the promise of the outpouring of His Spirit, is for everyone. There's no limits. There's no restrictions on age, gender, anything. And that has some real implications for us. So I hope that as a church, we can all embrace our part of this promise. We can truly experience this day of the Lord together. Is that what you want tonight? Amen.